Here with you, Christmas morning at the Crummett House. We're at the stage of opening presents, and we take turns, and it's my turn. And I'm opening one of my presents from my mom. My mom is an awesome gift giver. And I'm opening the gift, and what is it? It's an iPhone 6 Plus case. I don't have an iPhone 6 Plus, but I got an iPhone 6 Plus case. Now, what we do in our family is the last gift is the ta-da gift. It's the big gift. And so my mind's going to the last gift, which is likely the iPhone 6 Plus. We're doing more rounds, and it's my turn again. And my beloved wife, I open it, and it's an iPhone 6 Plus case. It's a different kind. I'm thinking, this is looking really, really good. I'm not thinking I'm going to get two of them, but I'm going to have two cases for my one new iPhone 6 Plus. The last gift is coming up. It's the last gift, and it's handed to me. It doesn't have the right weight, and it doesn't have the right feel. It's not that I've looked into it, but it's an 8.7-ounce phone, And it's not an iPhone 6 Plus, but my wife explained it. Honey, it's okay. I know you've been saving those Apple gift cards so you can get your new phone and you'll have the cases. So my face contorted a little bit, and I decided to share with my beloved and my mother, I just want you to understand where I'm coming from. It's like getting a Porsche 911 Cabriolet Turbo car cover, and you don't have a Porsche 911 Cabriolet Turbo. And so in the midst of this new phone and this new opportunity, we've started recently a new year. It's a new year. What do we say to each other on January 1st? Happy New Year. And what do we start? What do we make? What do we start doing in the new year frequently? Resolutions. Give me some popular resolutions. I'm going to lose 3,700 pounds by April. What are some other resolutions? Quit smoking. I'm going to take up yoga. I'm going to learn ballroom. My wife wants me to learn ballroom dance. I'm going to take ballroom dance. Who here has ever made a New Year's resolution? Don't give me this. Do it with pride. Who here has ever made? There are so many liars. Keep your hand up. If you've ever done it, keep it up in the air. I'm going to ask you another question. If it lasted a week or longer, keep it up. If it didn't go the week, put it down. Hands have started to go down. If it lasted 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. Okay, that's impressive. We got a couple. I'm sharing with my family the beginning of this sermon, like talking it out with them, what I'm thinking about saying. And Caitlin asked me a question. What if you started but didn't finish it, but you kept going? I said, well, when the moment when you really went off, she goes, well, let me give you an example. I was doing the Bible in a year, and I didn't finish it. I fell behind, but I kept reading the Bible. And I said, well, the time that you really start falling off, that's your cutoff. That's when you put your hand down. She goes, it's okay, because I'm going to do it again this year. I'm reading through the Bible in a year. She goes, the only thing is I'm 3 days behind. I looked at my watch. It was January 3rd. A friend of mine from high school, John Clark, we're seniors. We're at a New Year's Eve party. What do you do at 11:59 and 50 seconds? You do a 10-second countdown to the new year. 10, 9, 8. What do you do when you're with friends? High fives, hugs, kiss your wife. You're celebrating Happy New Year. My friend had made a New Year's resolution the year before that he was not going to drink Coca-Cola for 1 year. Coca-Cola to him and to me is like the nectar of the gods. It's amazing. And he went the year. When he did the countdown and people are hugging and high-fiving, he had with him 2 2-liter bottles of Coke. And he chugged the Coke. And I'm like, are you making up for the whole year in the first 5 minutes? So the resolutions that we make, I'm for resolutions. I'm for, you know, making, bettering ourselves. But what do we resolve? What are our resolutions? What was this newness? If you would turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5:17, this theme of new. If you're looking in the Bible in front of you, it's on page 1376. And you know I love to help you find the books in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is found right after 1 Corinthians. While you're looking it up, I want to share with you that it was this book, this letter was written by Paul to the church of Corinth. And it was written, that's thought to have been written 56 years after the death of Jesus Christ, 56 A.D. And Paul is protecting his apostleship in this letter. Different apostles have come through Corinth. It was also written to teach and warn against false teachers and heresy. Paul learned that the church in Corinth, it turns out it was struggling, and he wanted to keep unity amongst the body of believers. There's churches today that happens in it, and it's so important to keep unity amongst the body of believers. And you know what he did that was really special? He shared his personal struggles throughout this letter. He talks about the thorn in his side. And when I was preparing the sermon, I thought, there are many people here today that have thorns in their side, chronic challenges and struggles. And what Paul did with his was he leaned on the Lord, and he sought out the Lord, and he just relied on him. Where do we go with the thorns in our side? Who do we rely on? Because we have options. What do we do with that? And the encouragement I have for you right now is, if you're not seeking out the Lord when you're dealing with whatever's going on, you can, and he wants us to. He's there waiting for us. Now, if you would, let's read together 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. If we look at that word, therefore, he's about to tell us something. It's like, think of algebra. What happens on one side happens, you have to address it on the other. He's been talking about something, and then he's going to do, so this is what's important, the big ta-da. It's the rest of the story. And if we were to look at the big reveal, what was going on earlier in chapter 5, Paul is sharing about our temporary bodies. The good news is we're in our temporary bodies, and we're going to go be with God in heaven one day, and we're going to have new bodies, and we're going to be with him. And that's something to look forward to. And he's telling us that earlier in chapter 5. And this eternal life, it begins when we ask Jesus Christ into our life as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes in and is with us, and that's going to be forever. Isn't that awesome? We look forward to being with God in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is within those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Paul's encouraging us that even though we're not in our heaven in heaven yet, we're not with God in heaven, we're called. You know, Philip mentioned earlier to praise him, to worship him. You know what else we're called to do? We're called to serve him, to do his will, to be obedient to him. To do that involves having a relationship with him and seeking out his will, not going in front of him, but following him, being right with him, living by the Spirit, not in the flesh. And I thought about, you know anybody that's pretty or handsome on the outside, but their inside is so gorgeous and so wonderful that they're the most beautiful person. It's the inside. God looks at our hearts. It's important that we look at verses 14 to 17. Even though the message today is really honing in on 17, look at verse 14, please. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. I want to take a few minutes, and I want to look at this verse in more detail. I want to break it down. If anyone is in Christ, what does that mean? if we look, if you go to the next slide, if anyone is in Christ, can basically look, you can see it as one belonging to Christ, one lives in the sphere of Christ's power, one is united with Christ, and one is part of the body of Christ, the believing community. And it only happens when we know him. And this deals with the plan of salvation. Many of you have heard the plan of salvation. It is the most beautiful thing in the world. The plan of salvation is beautiful because it gives life. The difference between Christianity and every other religion I've ever heard of is Christianity believes you cannot work your way into heaven. The plan of salvation involves understanding that I mess up, that I don't hit the bullseye every time, that I make mistakes. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Many of us have heard that verse, but have you ever experienced that verse? Have you ever taken it in? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yet God loves us so much that he, even though he can't be around sin, he made a way for us to be with him and have a relationship with him. And that came about when he sent his son Jesus Christ as a baby into this world, fully human, 100% divine, who went through all the trials and the tribulations that you and I go through, yet he never messed up. He never missed a mark. He was perfect in every way. He is perfect in every way. And then he was even, this is not something he wanted to do. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he wept tears of blood, and he prayed to his Father, and he said, "If you can let this pass, let it. But I will do your will." Brothers and sisters, are we willing to do the will of the Father? And you know what he did? The Father gave him the message. Our Father God sent him to the cross, and he died on that cross, and he took on all our sins. And you know one of the most beautiful things in the pain and all the pain that he went through, what's beautiful to me is we sometimes still take in this guilt and shame for areas of our life that he paid the price for. And because of what he did, you don't have to live that life. He loves us so much. His yoke is light, but we have to give it to him. For us to have that, for us to be in Christ, we have to accept him into our life. But he makes it possible. Look at this. He is a new creature. And I'm going to go, I'm doing it because I think it just needs to be explained. I'm going Greek with you for a minute. In relation to new and time, in Greek there's different definitions for new. And two of them in particular, neos, N-E-O-S, refers to time. And that today when you woke up, it was a new day, right? And tomorrow, if God gives us life here again, it will be a new day. And the day after that will be a new day. It's time related. There's another word, kainos, which has to do with a quality of life in reference to time. It probably comes from the root word kin, which is freshly come or begun. Think of unprecedented, novel, uncommon, unheard of, never happened before. Pastor Kip loves this part probably because of his love for eschatology. Kainos is used frequently in Revelation when it comes to the eschatology. For example, Revelation 21:1. Listen to this. "The new heavens and earth will be far more than merely new in time or chronology, for they will be new in character." If you'll go to the next slide, please. I'm not going to read the verses out. You can see that. But we can see this quality of newness in Revelation. A new Jerusalem, a new name, a new creation, a new nature, a new man in Christ, a new covenant, a new commandment of love. And this newness for you and me, it's changing our lives. It changes the way one's life is affected. And it takes place at conversion. It's not about being reformed. It's about being transformed. We are transformed. And it's personal. It's subjective. And I was thinking about, are there any exceptions that people might see? How about a Billy Graham crusade where 3,000 people come forward and accept the Lord? You know what happened with those 3,000? Those 3,000 individuals accepted the invitation and came up. It's an individual decision. And many people here have made it. So my question to you right now is, how is that quality of life? How is that newness for you? Not a New Year's resolution, but how is that relationship? Do you think about the time when you asked Jesus Christ into your life? I am confident that you had a spiritual high, that it was amazing. You know that freshness that you had? Who here has accepted Jesus Christ in their life 10 years ago or longer? 15 years ago or longer? 20 years ago or longer? 25 years ago or longer? I could keep going and hands would still be raised. It's easy sometimes to hear the name Jesus. And we hear it on Sundays. We hear it when we read our scripture. Is Jesus still new to you? In the midst of going into a deeper relationship with him, is it still new? As a result, Christians are going to see the world in a new way. And so I ask you, and I don't have a preconceived answer, how do you see the world today? How is it for you? What eyes do you see the world in? And then there is next slide, please. The creatures. I tried it in first service. I'm not going to try to pronounce that in Greek out loud in this service because I'm going to butcher it. But you'll find that creature occurs in the New Testament, and it's in connection with God's creative activities. And because it's in the New Testament, it's not about evolution, but it is about creation. Here's the catch. For us to be a new creation, we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you look further in verse 17, the old things have passed away. Think about your life before you asked Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. Your pre-Christian existence. Our whole being, our value system, our behavior is affected when we accepted Jesus Christ into our life. And you know what? 20 years later, 25 years later, 30 years later, it can, and I hope it is, still new to you. If it's not, I want to encourage you to seek him out, to seek God out for this newness that we're talking about. Paul actually believed that the new things which Isaiah foretold about came to fruition with Jesus Christ. I want to read to you Isaiah 43:19. Isaiah wrote this way before Jesus Christ came down to earth. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. This something new is our Jesus Christ. This something new is our Redeemer. It's greater than the Exodus from Egypt. It's greater than the deliverance from Babylon. And he's led us from bondage of sin and back from the exile of our estrangement from God to a new relationship. He did that. He did that. He has forgiven us of our sins, and we don't need to breathe another breath of guilt or shame. That deserves a praise God. Hallelujah. I tend to do this in a lot of services. I ask you to take your hands and clap them and rub them. We're going to do, here's the rub. We're going to talk about, so how does this apply? Are you starting to feel a little friction, a little heat? Put it up against your face. Put up against somebody else. No. But I want to talk about how do we take what we just talked about in Scripture and what does that mean to us now? My brother Terry did a thing about, he went through a phase saying that I'm a new boy starting now when he was young. And he would mess up, he would make a mistake, and he goes, I'm a new boy starting, and he would pause, and you'd kind of wait for it, and he'd go, now. And he went through this phase where then one day in the kitchen, he did it like back to back, and I just laughed at him. It wasn't the nicest thing in the world to do, but I understood where he was coming from. He wanted a do-over because he wanted to be perfect. God gives us a do-over again and again and again. It's not a free pass to go. It's not meant or intended to go do whatever you want. Say, I'm sorry, and you go do it again. But we have been given, and we constantly are given, forgiveness and that is, he makes life new, and that is awesome. Think about the time when you asked Jesus into your life and the changes that have occurred in your life. Is it still new? Is it still fresh for you day in and day out? You know, for me, I'm not perfect. It's not always this perfection. But this is a reminder when I read God's word that it can be new for me. I just have to accept it, claim it, and run with it. And my newness comes through him, by him, from him. It's just another blessing and reason for Thanksgiving. He's constantly wanting to renew you. He constantly wants to transform you. He's looking for that opportunity. Let him. Seek him out. He's waiting for it to be renewed. If we know this newness, we're not going to live in constant guilt. We're not going to constantly be sinning. We're going to abide in Christ. What does John 15:5 say? I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. So we need a new perspective. We need new lenses to see life, and it affects our whole attitude. The world is constantly bombarding us with fads and new dates about the end times. Yet nothing beats the newness that you and I can have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's the hope and the joy that we have in him. That's where it resides. We then can share with others in this dark world. It got kind of thinking on this tangent about end times and this bombardment with culture. Here are some teenage movies that have come out in the recent generation just on this subject. And some of them are quite entertaining. Hunger Games, Divergent, Maze Runner, Zombie Apocalypse. By the way, there are many books on the zombie apocalypse. If you're scared or concerned, you can go get the book and prepare adequately for the zombies that may be coming to your home. No. But it's amazing how many it's out there. World War Z. Before the year 1950, there were 4 movies about the apocalypse. From the year 2000 to today, over 100 movies have been done, made about the apocalypse. 4 movies from 1950 and before, and just in the last 15 years, and we're starting 2015, so it's really more like 14 years. Listen to some of, this is just a few of the titles. Babylon, Battlestar Galactica, The Plan, The Core, The Day the Earth Stood Still, I Am Legend, Left Behind, Reign of Fire, Resident Evil, The Terminator movies, WALL-E, War of the Worlds, Watchmen, Zombieland, The Book of Eli, Edge of Tomorrow, Godzilla, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Dread, Interstellar, Pacific Rim, Red Dawn, Snowpiercer. That's a lot. You know, when we look, if you want to see darkness, ISIS, wars, unprecedented catastrophic natural calamities, sickness that doesn't have a cure, Ebola, an apathy found within the church today that's going on today. God wants us to seek him out regularly. And it's not about that moment, only that moment when you ask Jesus Christ into your life. Think about a light switch. When the light's off, what do you have to do? Turn that light switch back on. We have to turn on to God day in and day out, not just every day, but constantly seeking him out. I want to encourage you, when you say the word amen, don't say goodbye to God. When you say amen, keep your thoughts with God. Don't turn off. Don't turn away. I want to conclude. I want to finish with some quote from Arthur Pink. He was an English evangelist. He was a biblical scholar. He wrote the book, The Sovereignty of God. And this is what he had to say. In the new birth, just take this in, and I want you to think about you. In the new birth, God lays hold of one who is spiritually dead and quickens him into a newness of life. In the new birth, God takes up one who was shaped in iniquity and conceived in sin and conforms him to the image of his son. In the new birth, God seizes a drudge of the devil and makes him a member of his holy family. And the new birth, God picks up a destitute beggar and makes him joint heir with Christ. In the new birth, God comes to one who is full of enmity against him and gives him a new heart that is full of love for him. In the new birth, God stoops to one who by nature is a rebel and works in him both to will and do his good pleasure. In the new birth, by his irresistible power, God transforms a sinner into a saint, an enemy into his friend, a drudge of the devil into his beloved child. I want to encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters, that new equals hope, new equals joy, new equals redemption, new equals victory, new equals overcomers, new equals Jesus. 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 Pray with me. Thank you, Father, that we have life and life abundantly in you. Everybody dies, but not many people really live. Father, I pray that we will live a life of newness in you every day, that the quality of our relationship with you will grow deeper. That it is so easy to get bogged down or tangled up or pulled away in our thoughts and our actions. Help us, Father, to constantly go to you, to seek you out. Not just a prayer before we eat, not just a bedtime prayer, but that we seek you out, Father, that we look to you, that we share you with others, that we memorize your word, that we read your word, that we fellowship with other brothers and sisters, that in the world outside, out away from this church, that we be a light to others, that we are so plugged in and connected to you that you will start a joke, or we'll start a joke and you'll finish it, that you are our best friend, that when we have a praise of something so cool, so exciting that happened, we come to you first, that when we're hurting or in pain or struggling, you're who we go to first. Thank you that we have family, that we have brothers and sisters, that we have spiritual family, church family, that we can go to, Father, but nothing beats you. So, Lord, I pray for those here today who are just struggling with that newness. The salt has gotten wet. The light through the windows is tinted. Father, take away that tint. Dry that salt and let us be so right with you. We call on you now, Father, and we thank you that you want to hear from us, that you listen, that you are constant. We are your children, and we are blessed. In your precious Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.